Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Make the Commitment, Bible Bits from Haggai. In this session, we'll be looking at Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, pathetic churches. Christians and churches need to know where they're going. Someone said many churches fail in their mission because they have taillights where their headlights ought to be. They can tell you where they've been, but have no idea where they're going. An individual commitment can empower an entire ministry. But first, let's consider the reason to make the commitment. Let's read Haggai, our text. Haggai chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. What is going on in this scene? Verse 2 is the key to understanding this passage. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. This drama actually takes place in another book, in the book of Ezra, in chapters 3 through chapter 6. The setting is rebuilding the temple after the exile. The construction had stopped after the foundation was laid. The players in this drama were the Jewish leaders, Zerubbabel and Joshua, the Assyrian king Darius, Haggai, the prophet, Israelites who had returned from captivity, and God. Let's look at that. Our drama from Haggai, which actually takes place in Ezra. Let's read Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. So there was just great excitement because the temple was being rebuilt, the foundation was laid, there was excitement. And then opposition came. In the next chapter, in Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, "You may do nothing with us to build the house of our God for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." And then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia, in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign. They wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Artaxerxes also, Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabal, and the rest of their companions wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the letter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. The letter was written to King Artaxerxes about the rebellion. The reply was recorded in chapter 4, verses 18 to 24. "The letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and I gave the command, and a search has been made, and it was found that this city in former times has revolted against kings, and rebellion and sedition have been fostered in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax, tribute, and custom were paid to them. Now give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the kings?" Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum, Shimei, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Thus, the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the king of Darius, the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The prophet Haggai spoke God's message to build. It was opposed, and there was an attempt to stop the progress. Ezra chapter 5 in verse 5 is the greatest verse in this drama. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till a report could go to Darius. And then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. Those few men feared God rather than man. So what does this narrative have to do with us today? Nice story, but what does it have to do with us today? Well, let's consider Haggai's message and see what it has to do with us today. First, there's the sin of the believers. Look at Haggai chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses and this temple to lie in ruins?' The Jews yielded to the order to stop. Well, okay. But they wouldn't start again, even when reminded of their duty to God. They had no desire to resume the construction. It seemed like they were glad to have an excuse not to do it. Listen, Christians may stop ministry when a storm comes, for one reason or another. But they should be working again as soon as it passes. Not yet? Well, why? You know why? Because serving the Lord is an interruption to our own plans. Difficulties often arise to test our faith, and we tend to use them as excuses from labor. Other responsibilities arise to test our diligence, and we'll make them higher priorities. Many Christians put off serving the Lord until it's convenient, but that's simply neglect in God's economy. And then second, there is the judgment of the Lord. Verse 6, and then verses 9 through 11. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. And if you drop down to verse 9, you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. They were punished for not doing the work. They neglected building God's house so that they would have resources for personal plans. Basically saying, I must provide for my family before I can even think of contributing to the construction of the temple. God understands. No, what God understands is selfish priorities, and he judges them as sin, disobedience. They kept for themselves and still couldn't get enough. They didn't build to protect their resources, and God took it from them anyway. The people experienced the judgment. The people complained about the judgment, but they wouldn't admit it was their own sin. God's rod is often overlooked by Christians today. The Jews needed God's prophets to explain it to them, and believers today need God's preachers to help them understand his ways with his own. How did God punish them? They received no return on their investment. They experienced no joy from the gain. They couldn't protect it as God blew it away. They couldn't gain satisfaction by it. There wasn't enough. They couldn't benefit from them. No creature comforts were met. They couldn't keep it. It was spent as fast as it was earned. Why did God punish them? Well, why indeed? Look at verse 9 again. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Everyone was taking care to make his home complete and beautiful, and God's house was neglected and not finished. This is a good image of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Those who neglect these things will have the rest taken away from them also. Believers must learn to make the connection. sin always bears a consequence. There is no place in God's word that even remotely indicates that he no longer judges sin. The opposite is seen. Eternal righteousness in Christ, yet a temporal process toward glory with him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. And then third, there is the reproof of the prophets. Verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? The Old Testament presents a picture of the coming church. The Jews built the temple for God to dwell in. The Christians built the church for God to dwell in. The body of Christ, the universal church. People were taking care of their own houses and not giving concern to God's house. Not only walls and a roof, but paneling as well. What a difference from the heart of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2. And then the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Those who prefer conveniences and the ornaments of this temple life, the flesh, before attending to the absolute necessities of the spiritual life. God's counsel for sinners. The people despised God by neglecting his work, their obligation as his people. It's non-optional. Reflect on what God is doing in judgment. Verses 5 and verse 7. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then repent of the disobedience. Verse 8. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Our considering of our sin must result in turning to the right path with God. What is the encouragement for those who reform? Well, God will be glorified by it. All the care, all the pain, all the cost will be worth it when we see Jesus. The foundation is laid, Jesus Christ. We must commit to finish building the structure. What is the basic purpose of the church? It is to exalt the Savior. It is to equip the saint. And it is to evangelize the sinner. Every other act flows out of the compassion gained when attending to these construction goals. Exalting the Savior, worshiping together. Equipping the saint, Bible study and teaching. Evangelizing the sinner. Going and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You think about that, and you have a great day.